Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week begins live right here, right now on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM, channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. Welcome to a Monday live right here on FFC. Joe, we'll recap week number 14 of the NFL Sunday slate because as it stands right now, Joe Lisi, the conclusion of week 14 happens tonight in the desert, Monday night football between the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots. We'll share some thoughts on that game later on in the show. But after that, Joe, just 4 regular season weeks remaining, just a month left of this NFL season here in 2022. So every game, whether the team is in a postseason spot or not, does have ramifications for what that playoff hunt looks like.
Great point, Ben. And great games yesterday, right? Especially that Sunday night battle in terms of Los Angeles with the Miami Dolphins and Chargers. Game goes right down to the final couple of minutes of that ball game. Chargers prevail, keep their playoff hopes alive. And Miami now has to really step up next week, meaning this coming week against the Buffalo Bills. Everything's on the table in terms of the AFC East. We saw teams like Dallas struggle. We saw Detroit take a step closer to becoming 500. Who would have thought it in terms of their start, but they're right there knocking on the door for a potential wild card berth. And this is what it's all about. 5 weeks left of the regular season doesn't get better than this.
Absolutely not, Joe. And a great point right there. What the AFC wild card race was the focus of last night in Los Angeles between the Chargers and the Dolphins. The Dolphins entered the game, Joe, laying 3.5 points on the road against the Bolts. But the Chargers get the better of Miami, and Justin Herbert gets the better of Tua Tagovailoa. The Chargers winning outright 23-17 as 3.5-point home underdogs. Lisi, the total got all the way up to 54.5, the highest over-under of the entire Week 14 slate. It stays well under, only finishing with 40 points. Part of that was the lack of offensive firepower last night, Joe Lisi, for the Miami Dolphins, and mainly Tua Tagovailoa. 10 of 28 only for 148 yards. Both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle well under their respective receiving yards props. And on the other side, Joe, Justin Herbert, 39 of 51, 367 yards. Happy to see both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen on the field for him in his receiving core at the same time. Joe, the reason I highlight Tua and Herbert is because, of course, it goes back to the 2020 NFL draft. Tua Tagovailoa selected number 5 overall by Miami, a pick later, number 6 overall Justin Herbert by the Los Angeles Chargers. Their careers are intrinsically linked, and we saw that on display last night, Herbert having the upper hand.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he had 223 yards, Ben, at the half against that Dolphins defense. And I will say that in the loss, Miami's front 7 played phenomenal. I mean, Phillip stepped up, the first-round draft pick a year ago from UCLA. I mean, dominant effort. And that secondary really forced, I want to say, big plays between the 30s, but really buckled down in terms of inside the 30 and really gave their offense an opportunity to pull that ball game out. But it was just Justin Herbert stepping up, making plays when he had to. They are a different team when Mike Williams is healthy. I know it's Keenan Allen as well, but when Mike Williams is involved in that offense, I mean, they are just explosive, and they utilized Austin Eckler in terms of the short to intermediate passing game as well. They have an opportunity, if they play well from a defensive perspective, to maybe make some noise in terms of a playoff run should they get there.
I mean, Mike Williams, Joe, is one of the best deep ball receivers and contested catchers in the NFL you will see. 6 grabs, 116 last night and a touchdown, and Keenan Allen is incredibly reliable. 12 receptions for 92 yards for Justin Herbert last night. Austin Eckler getting it done in both the ground and receiving game. And the Chargers now, Joe, a game above 500, 7-6 overall, with the caveat that always goes, if the season were to end today, the Bolts would be in the postseason, as the 7th AFC playoff team, the 3rd and final AFC wildcard spot. The Dolphins also a playoff team, Joe, but now they have dropped 2 straight games. And when it comes to the AFC East, it really seems like Buffalo is in firm control. The Bills minus 1,100, Joe, to win the division at this moment. And Buffalo has a chance to get rid of the advantage Miami currently holds against the Bills up this upcoming weekend on Sunday, or on Saturday night, rather. Miami is a 7-point road underdog in Western New York against Buffalo. So the Bills, Joe, in firm control now of that AFC East.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Buffalo stepped up. I mean, it wasn't pretty either.
No.
The way that offense looked, and now part of it was the conditions. Part of it, I think, is still Josh Allen. Is he 100%? Missed some big throws to wide-open receivers, Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs early on. Found a little bit of a rhythm, but that defensive front with Rousseau and that front seven, Ed Oliver, they really buckled down, forced Mike White into short to intermediate throws, and at the end of the day, they grinded out a double-digit win. But here it is, big picture. If they're going to make a step and challenge the better teams in the AFC, right, teams like Cincinnati now and Kansas City, that offense needs more consistency.
The Buffalo Bills, Joe, not covering as a 10-point home favorite yesterday. Like you mentioned, wintry conditions. It was ugly. It was cold. A classic day in Western New York. But Buffalo does win 20-12. They are just 1-3 against the spread in the division, yet they now hold a 2-game lead atop the AFC East. More Football Full Circle up next, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Around the National Football League we go, a recap of Week 14 of this NFL regular season in the Sunday slate. Joe Lisi, a couple of very intriguing lines, like we mentioned, entering these Sunday matchups, including one in Santa Clara. Brock Purdy making his first career NFL start. His San Francisco 49ers team, a 3.5-point home favorite against Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mr. Irrelevant, more than a field goal favorite against the GOAT in Tom Brady, playing his favorite childhood football team? Well, the line turned out to be exactly correct and maybe should have been even more in favor of San Francisco, Joe, as the Niners throttle the Bucs 35-7, easily covering as a 3.5-point favorite. Brock Purdy was sensational and efficient. 16 of 21, 185 through the air, 2 passing touchdowns. Joe added another on the ground. Christian McCaffrey played probably the best game he has in a San Francisco uniform, and the Niners have won their 6th straight.
And this game really changed, I want to say, on a touchdown that was called back by Mike Evans, right? Yeah. There was a critical hold call in the first quarter. It looked like it was about a 60-yard bomb from Brady to Evans. It gets called back. They don't score. All of a sudden, on the next drive, San Francisco goes right down the field. It's a 14-point turnaround, and they never look back. This game was won in the trenches. The offensive line wore down the front seven of Tampa Bay. They did a fantastic job. I want to say there were glimpses of greatness out of Brock Purdy. He made some inconsistent throws. He got let off the hook with a couple of penalties. But when that running game is going and Christian McCaffrey is pounding the rock, it's very easy to work off a play action, dominant effort. Purdy looks good in two starts, even though last week technically wasn't, still gets the W. But at the end of the day, San Francisco is going to have to step up because Deebo Samuel got injured. It looks like he's lost for the year in terms of an apparent knee injury. This might not be the same team now after the win after Tampa Bay yesterday afternoon.
Joe, it will be very sad to me, and I think just as a football fan, it is a little bit disheartening to see that the storyline of this year for San Francisco might end up being all the injuries starting to pile up. They won their fifth straight game. Last week, they lose Jimmy Garoppolo for the entirety of the season. They win their sixth straight game where the rookie quarterback in his first NFL career start looks sensational in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and they lose one of the most dynamic playmakers in all of the league. Now, Joe, Deebo Samuel can do it all. Again, one of the most effective offensive pieces you will find around the sport. Does he move the needle all that much in terms of the prices? Maybe not so much, especially in a Kyle Shanahan offense where you just had Run CMC post 153 scrimmage yards yesterday. But a huge component of that offense in another injury for San Francisco to have to face the adversity and to overcome. But from the odds perspective, the Niners move up the board, plus 360 now, tied for the second best price in the NFC, Joe, behind the Philadelphia Eagles, who also keep winning football games. Four straight for the Birds now. A dominant performance yesterday, Joe, on the road in MetLife against the Giants. 7-point road favorites in a divisional game. That's where Philly entered. Easily cover that number. 48-22, Joe. And Jalen Hurts has now become the front runner for the NFL MVP.
Yeah, he does it through the air and on the ground. I was shocked that they dominated as much as they did on the road in terms of MetLife. I'm not saying that New York would have won the game, but they were catching 7.5 by the start of the kickoff, and they were down immediately 21-0. Now, at the end of the day, there was another game that changed on a critical play with Julian Love. He went for the interception as opposed to knocking out Devontae Smith in terms of that ball game. That changed the whole landscape of momentum for Philadelphia. And at the end of the day, let me just tell you this. It's the offensive line for Philly. He doesn't get touched in terms of the passing game. They run it at will with him and Miles Sanders in terms of the RPO. They even added Boston Scott at the end of that ball game. They just wore down the front seven of the New York Giants, and if they can run it like that come playoff time, I'll say this, they are one of the best teams in the NFL. I had some doubts, but I don't have it anymore. After the win against Tennessee last week and to follow it up with a road win over a divisional opponent, dominant effort by Nick Sirianni, and now you got to say Jalen Hurts, definitely the front runner for the MVP because he is a dual threat, much like Lamar Jackson.
You look at Philadelphia right now, Joe, the third best rushing offense in the league the year after they led the entire NFL in rushing yards per game as a team. They have averaged better than 225 over their last three games. 253 yesterday against the Giants, only 67 the week before against the Titans. It was Jalen Hurts and his arm and A.J. Brown on the receiving end. And then the week before that against the Packers, 363. So this team in Philadelphia continues to find ways to win. And Joe, I think you brought up a spectacular point right there. The Eagles were always deserving of being the favorites in the NFC, to have that shortest number booked by whatever sportsbook operator out there. They were the last remaining undefeated team in the NFL. They continue to have the league's best record, now improving to 12-1. But the question was, Joe, is that actual value on Philadelphia because of the postseason lack of experience? Only one playoff game for both Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and they were routed last year by Tampa Bay. So would that eventually catch up with them and make them not look like the favorite come January? I'm starting to have less of those doubts as well, Joe. They seem to me to be the best team in the NFC, maybe the best team in all of the NFL, and they continuously stack it up week after week. A two-game lead, though, Joe, for Philadelphia in the NFC East over the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles are the heavy, heavy odds-on favorites to win this division right now as it currently stands, minus 700. The Dallas Cowboys plus 500 behind them. And it's still a two-game lead, Joe, because although Dallas comes nowhere close to covering as a 17.5 point favorite against the Texans yesterday at the Star in Big D, they do squeak out and survive with a win, 27-23. The Texans brought it to them, Joe, pretty much all of the game. And on Dak Prescott's second interception of the game, under 6 minutes remaining in that fourth quarter, the Texans had the ball already with goal to go inside the 10-yard line. They got stuffed by the Dallas defense. Damian Pierce wasn't out there for whatever reason. Maybe injuries caused that. And because of it, Joe, Dallas turns around and drives down the field 98 yards for the game-winning Ezekiel Elliott touchdown. So they do not cover as the largest favorites, Joe, we had seen all weekend long and one of the largest spreads we had seen all year long, laying 17.5 points against their in-state foes. But Dallas does survive, Joe, and they get another win, which right now in the postseason implication is most important.
Yeah, well, I mean, to cover the 17.5 is always hard. I mean, we talk about it on the college level. It's hard to get up week to week to week, right? So they went through Indianapolis. They went through some of the better teams on their schedule, had a Thanksgiving Day game that they dominated. So at the end of the day, though, Ben, they stepped up and just found a way to win. I mean, the key was the intrastate rivalry. You're facing a team that has one win. You know that you're going to get it their best effort, and Davis Mills stepped up. I mean, Amari Rodgers stepped up, but at the end of the day, the defense still made enough plays to keep them in it, and they gutted out a win, but no cover. That's all that matters. You know, the 17.5 is a tall order in any game, let alone an NFL matchup. So credit Houston. They were motivated for this particular week, but at the end of the day, Dallas did what it had to do. They won on the road, and that's all that matters, baby.
I mean, Joe, when you think about what Houston has dealt with this season, booked as an underdog in every game, a rotating cast and crew at the quarterback position, even within the specific game yesterday against Dallas, the Texans booked as an underdog in all of their games so far this year, a 1-11-1 record. But when they've been a touchdown or greater underdog, Joe, 5-3 against the spread, so at least competitive in those games. So again, the Cowboys now tied for the second best price in the NFC with San Francisco at +360. When you look at the Buccaneers, Joe, now a game below 500, 6-7, all four teams in the NFC South now with losing records once again. The Buccaneers are still the favorites at -320, but we'll talk about some surprising outcomes from the Sunday slate, including those Lions and the Panthers, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You were a better or not? You looked at the Lions and you thought to yourself, the Lions are a 1.5-point home favorite against the Minnesota Vikings, a line that opened at 1.5 in favor of Detroit, got all the way up to 2 in a hook in favor of the Lions at home at Ford Field in Detroit on Sunday, and then came down to 1.5 before the game got kicked off. But again, Joe, like we mentioned with San Francisco being the home favorite of more than a field goal against Tom Brady and the Bucs, the line was incredibly justified. Detroit looks great once again. 34-23, the victory over Minnesota. And for the second consecutive week, Joe, the Lions cover as a home favorite. That's what we saw against the Vikings on Sunday.
Yeah, and they're one step closer to going over their preseason total of 6.5, right? So 6-7 overall, and they shut down Dalvin Cook. Even though Dalvin Cook scored, he got well under his pregame total, which was 70.5. I think they held him to like 23 yards in that ballgame, made the running game non-existent, forced Kirk Cousins to play from behind. And if you do that against the Minnesota Vikings, more times than not, they're going to make mistakes. That is the MO of Kirk Cousins, right? You force them into long third downs. You force them to become predictable. You get pressure up the middle, and then you have a recipe to potentially beat the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I still think Minnesota is one of the better teams in the NFC, but you have to win road games, especially in your division. And now this is back-to-back years with Mike Zimmer last year and this year with O'Connell at the helm that they lost on the road in Detroit. It's amazing to think about Detroit closing the gap, but this is what they're doing. And credit Dan Campbell. He's doing it on the defensive side of the ball. It's not just the offense with Jared Goff.
And Minnesota not doing it on the defensive side of the ball. Their fifth consecutive game, Joe, allowing more than 400 yards of total offense to their opposition. Jared Goff, great once again, well over 300 yesterday and three passing scores. The Lions, who started off the year, Joe, 1-6, have now won five of their last six games. Their only game they did not win at home on Turkey Day against the Buffalo Bills on a last second field goal. They have covered in six straight. They covered in their first three games of the season as well. This is a Detroit Lions team, Joe, that is now 9-4 against the spread after last year being 11-6 ATS. Under Dan Campbell, they have been one of the best cover teams in the National Football League. And Joe, truly do have postseason hopes at this moment. Here are the odds for the Detroit Lions to be a postseason team. Are you ready? +270, Joe Lisi. They have an opportunity. Where things currently stand, they're still a game and a half behind both the Giants and the Commanders, who would both be in the postseason right now with a 7-5-1 record because they tied against one another 2 weeks ago. The Commanders on the bye week. The Giants, like we mentioned, absolutely hammered at home by the Eagles. It will be the Giants and the Commanders once again in back-to-back games for Washington at home on Sunday Night Football this upcoming weekend. Currently, the Commanders a 3.5-point home favorite. Joe, Minnesota had an opportunity with a win over Detroit to clinch the division. They still hold a 4-game lead. And with a win this upcoming weekend, Minnesota will clinch the division. That's why they're a -20,000 favorite. Joe, we mentioned a game in the NFC that was a little bit surprising for some. The Panthers go on the road to Seattle as a 4-point underdog and win outright, Joe, 30-24. So now the Seahawks, like we mentioned in that NFC wildcard race, also on the outside, sitting a half game behind both Washington and New York. A disappointing result for those Seattle Seahawks, Joe, but you look at this Carolina Panthers team, fired Matt Rhule following week number 5 after a 1-4 start under the interim head coach in Steve Wilks. They are now 4-4 straight up, Joe, and have covered and believe, I think, 6 of their last 7 games, all as an underdog.
Well, maybe Matt Rhule knew what he was doing, right? Just took a little time. I mean, could that have been? I mean, here's the other thing too, Ben. Sam Darnold, back-to-back wins. I mean, Sam Darnold, are we talking about the Sam Darnold, the New York Jets Sam Darnold, the guy that threw for .172 and 3 picks against New England last year, Sam Darnold? I mean, come on now. He's not doing a lot, but he's playing well within the scheme, and as long as they could run the football with Chuba Hubbard and obviously Foreman, they have an opportunity to win ballgames. They ran it all over Seattle, stayed in manageable third-down situations. Their defense stepped up. They built such a first half lead that they held on 30-24. So that's what it's all about in terms of Carolina. Is this team a playoff? I don't think they're a playoff contender. I'm sorry. I know that they're right there with Tampa Bay. I'd be shocked if they steal the division because I still think that Tampa Bay's defense is a step above. It's just that Todd Bowles got to get off his ass and start coaching defense.
I mean, Joe, you're right though. Carolina, a playoff contender is an interesting word, right? Based on relative expectation for what that definition is. But the Panthers are a game out of the top spot in the NFC South, as are the Atlanta Falcons. Joe, again, the Buccaneers are still a -320 favorite to win the NFC South. They have Tom Brady. But this is not the same Tom Brady. This is not the same Tampa Bay offense, certainly. Only 7 points yesterday against the best scoring defense in the NFL in the San Francisco 49ers. One of these teams, Joe, all four of them in the NFC South, have a losing record, below .500 at the moment. One of these teams, Joe, is going to win the division, probably also with a losing record at that time, and still host a January playoff game. I'm not entirely sure who that team is going to be. The Panthers, a slight favorite now as they get ready to host the Pittsburgh Steelers this upcoming Sunday. But again, they've been booked as an underdog in most of their games this year, Joe, and all but 3 of their in total 13 games. So as a dog in those 10 games this year, they have covered in 7 of them. And their 5 wins, Joe Lisi, all of them outright as an underdog. A remarkable turnaround for the Panthers under Steve Wilks with, yes, Sam Darnold, and no, Christian McCaffrey. This has been a true testament to what this Panthers team can do. You have to wonder if the interim head coach in Steve Wilks will get another shot at being a head coach in the National Football League. Joe, as we continue to go around the NFL from the NFC South to the AFC North, all four teams playing a divisional matchup. First up, it was the Ravens and the Steelers, and then the Bengals and the Browns. Joe, let's start in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The game at Acrisure Stadium, it was a QB carousel in the individual game. No Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. Tyler Huntley gets the start. He has been great as Lamar's backup over his career there in Baltimore. Looks pretty good early on. The Ravens have a lead. The defense playing well. Kenny Pickett gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. He is ruled out. Mitchell Trubisky comes in, Joe. He had eight incompletions per se, Joe, but three of them interceptions. So only five balls hitting the ground for Mitchell Trubisky yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens went outright as an underdog, Joe, 16-14 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I thought they should have been favored in that ballgame. That's not to take away from Kenny Pickett, but let's look at who he beat up on, right? Indianapolis and Atlanta, two garbage teams over the past couple of weeks, and you're talking about Tyler Huntley that started that game, that was a better backup and quarterback than Kenny Pickett at this point in his career. It's just the facts, right? Tyler Huntley could step up and lead that team, and the more complete offensive defensive lines was, in fact, the Baltimore Ravens. They grinded it out. Pittsburgh is still strong. Struggled against the better teams within their division, and that's still going to be the case with growing pains with Kenny Pickett. They're actually getting ready for 2023. There's no doubt that Pittsburgh is out of it, in my opinion. I think Baltimore has an opportunity to get back on track, but as good as that victory was, Ben, and we still don't know about Lamar Jackson, out of the whole conference and the whole division, it is the Cincinnati Bengals, because they won yet again, and no matter how good Baltimore looks right here, right now, I still don't think they're the front runners. Even if Lamar Jackson was at the helm, Cincinnati's the most complete team in the division.
I agree with you, Joe. When you look at the odds right now, the Ravens are still the odds-on favorites in the AFC North. I'm not entirely sure, because we're not entirely sure also when Lamar Jackson is coming back. The Bengals have won five straight games. They have covered in 10 of their last 11. They are 10-3 against the number, the best cover team in all of the NFL, 23-10 on a Sunday afternoon against the Cleveland Browns, covering easily as a 5.5-point favorite. And it wasn't even the offense's best game with Joe Burrow at the helm. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, 26-42 for 276 yards. There is some rumors around Kevin Stefanski now, Joe, in Cleveland, that is he the head coach of the future? So it's just a two-team race in the AFC North, and the Cincinnati Bengals still have the plus next to their price. Again, the value is there with Cincy. Joe, as we go around the NFL continuously here, in the AFC West, the Chiefs got up big over the Broncos, 27-0 midway through the second quarter. Denver somehow finds some offensive nature, comes back to rally, but then Russ exits early with what they ruled as a concussion, and KC survives on the road, 34-28. Again, not covering as a 9.5-point favorite, but a win nonetheless. They are 10-3, Joe, the same record as the Buffalo Bills, but the Bills hold the tiebreaker for the top spot in the AFC.
Yeah, but, you know, Kansas City ripped a very good defense, right? That was the MO of Denver. If you just scored 18 or 19 points, you'd be something like 10-1 or 10-2, respectively. Well, that Kansas City offense absolutely ripped apart the secondary. McKinnon had a big day in terms of the screen game. Mahomes challenged them with Kelsey and those playmakers over the top. A more explosive offense really challenged that secondary and exploited the weaknesses of Denver. And at the end of the day, even though Russell got cooking, he went over his pregame total, I think, of 224.5. He had like 237. It was too little, too late. Where was that in the beginning part of the year? Jerry Jeudy with three touchdowns in the first time in his career. I mean, you got to get the football to your playmakers, man.
Joe, Patrick Mahomes threw for more than 350 yards and three touchdowns, but also three interceptions. It's part of the reason Jalen Hurts is a -150 odds-on favorite to win the NFL MVP at this point. A couple of closing thoughts on the NFL on the other side of the break before we preview Monday Night Football in Arizona. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC, continuing to roll around the NFL Week 14 slate. A few more thoughts on Sunday before we flip our attention to Monday night in the desert between the Cardinals and the Patriots. Joe, it was an interesting week for the Tennessee Titans. They fire their general manager, John Robinson, after nearly seven seasons in the middle of the week, leading into their Sunday game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then things got weirder for Tennessee. They had a three-game lead in the division within the AFC South entering Sunday. That has dwindled just to two because the Jacksonville Jaguars, Joe, go on the road to Nashville as a 3.5-point underdog and put a hurtin' on the Titans, 36-22. Jacksonville steps up in a big, big way for a big divisional victory. Now, Joe, the Tennessee Titans have dropped three straight games. What sense do you get out of Tennessee at this moment?
I still think they're the front runners. Now, you know, they went through a gauntlet, right? You know, and at the end of the day, they got clipped by the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just think from a matchup perspective, you know, Jacksonville caught them. Typically, Jacksonville plays them, I want to say, rather tough, but it's Trevor Lawrence, right? He wasn't supposed to play in the middle of the week. He was supposed to give way to C.J. Beathard. He came back, a dynamic performance, 368 through the air, three touchdowns. He seems to be coming into his own, right? Trevor Lawrence seems to be getting it in year number two where other quarterbacks just don't. And I'll use Zach Wilson as the example in terms of that, even though he hasn't started in a couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, I still think Tennessee, as long as Derrick Henry's healthy, they're still the best team in the division. I think they'll win it going away. Even though they're 7-6 overall, I still buy into them. But they need some more help out of the wide receiver position. They're a limited offense, one-dimensional when they're put into a double-digit situation. And until that changes, that, you know, maybe they're one and done in terms of the playoffs. They win the division, go maybe one win, and that's it. We'll see. I mean, they're definitely not a championship caliber team because of the way the offense is performing right here.
Derrick Henry had 17 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. You would think, all right, that's good stuff. That was the script for a Tennessee victory, especially after taking a 14-7 lead in that opening quarter. But that was not the case. Jacksonville outscores the Titans 13-0 in the second, 13-0 in the third, and flips the script of that football game. Tennessee entered, Joe, a minus 1,400 favorite to win the division, now minus 550. Again, still heavily favored, still a two-game advantage right now with only four games remaining, but a tighter market than it was just a week ago. But to your point, Joe, minus 550 is still a strong price. They are going to win the division, that would say, and thus host a playoff game like we saw last year. But even if that's the case, Tennessee is 24-1 in the AFC, the seventh best price. That should show you, Joe, where the market truly thinks Tennessee is as a contender. All right, Lisey guy, one final game for week 14 of this NFL regular season on a Monday in Arizona between the Cardinals and the Pats. New England, a 1.5-point road favorite, the over under 43.5. What does Joe Lisey expect to see on Monday night?
Yeah, back and forth with this game, but I'm going to go with the over, and I lean to Arizona. Maybe it's just because I dislike New England, and I'm going to roll with the Cardinals at home. I'm going to take a shot. I think their offense finds a little consistency, not sold in terms of the offensive mindset of New England, even though I love Mac Jones, don't like Patricia and Joe Judge. So I'm going to go with the home dog, Arizona, but the over, a little bit different than last night. Give me the over 43.5, and it's juiced at minus 115. So I'm hoping for points of plenty out of both offenses tonight.
Lisey, did you just say the reason you're picking the Cardinals is because you don't like the Patriots?
No, don't like them, meaning not like them. I don't like their mindset, and I don't like the offensive identity in terms of Patricia, meaning not just because I dislike them, but you look at that game against Buffalo last week, right, on the Thursday night. They had an opportunity to really just run up-tempo. They were trailing by double digits. They kick the onside kick. They don't get it. They have three timeouts. They lay up. They don't have the winning mentality to win ball games or do whatever it takes. They're they're just heavily relying on the rushing attack with Stevenson. As he goes, so does the wins and losses. If they can't run the football and they're in a double-digit deficit, that's it. They're cooked. So I believe that Arizona will try to score first, force them into a higher scoring game, and that has to be the recipe in terms of Arizona pulling this ball game out. So, yes, I severely dislike Matt Patricia and Joe Judge's play callers. That's exactly what I meant, dislike.
That makes sense.
Not Belichick's.
Yeah, but, I mean, you bring up a good point, Joe. They're only averaging, in the last three games, 15.3 points per game. Right now, that is the third worst scoring offense over the span of the last 3 weeks in the NFL, and there have been those offensive questions for New England all season long. It's an interesting game, though, Joe, because we have reached that point of the season where playoff implications and that motivation that comes with it certainly a factor into how you think this game plays out and what the handicap is for it. New England right now is 6-6 with a victory, Joe, and they are slightly favored to do so tonight on the road. The Patriots would take over that seventh and final AFC wildcard spot, taking it over from Los Angeles, the seventh and final AFC wild, or just AFC playoff spot, the third and final wild card spot. So that is what is at stake tonight, Joe, for New England. It's a very difficult home stretch following this game in Arizona. They head to Vegas, and they have to take on Cincinnati, and then their final two games against the Dolphins and the Pats. It's why they're plus 250 right now, Joe, is New England to make the postseason. Again, on the outside looking in from that odds indication. But, Joe, it's a team that could be a playoff team with a win tonight. This is a must-win game, probably their easiest of the final five games they still have in store. It is also interesting, though, Joe, because Arizona, yes, is at home tonight, but the Cardinals, over the course of the last 2 years, one of the worst home teams in all of the NFL. 4-10 straight up at home, and just 5-9 against the spread. Only the Texans, Joe, at 2-12-1 straight up, have a worse record over the last 2 years as the home team. So being at home is not necessarily a blessing for the Cardinals.
No, it's not. But, I mean, you got to believe that, you know, with New England's a one-dimensional offense, right? I think about it. The way that Minnesota got them into a higher scoring game, Arizona's offense is built the same way. I'm going to take a shot. You're going to think I'm nuts. I'm going to go alt on Kyler Murray tonight, 275 plus. I mean, it's positive money. I think it's plus 178. Hopkins, those playmakers. I'm going to take a shot. I mean, that has to be the mindset. Challenge them vertically. They're an aging secondary, the way Minnesota exploited them. We have the pieces to do the same in terms of the passing attack. Start fast, put the pressure on Mac Jones to match us score for score, and we'll see how it plays out. Now, I will say that the mindset for New England will probably run the football because the front seven of Arizona hasn't stopped the high school offense. So we'll see how it plays out, but I'm going to go with a Kyler alt in terms of the total as well tonight.
No Jacoby Myers for the Patriots as well. The line just updated, Joe. It's now 2.5 in favor of New England. Ramondre Stevenson, like you mentioned, Joe, is really the entire cog of that New England offense. His total rushing plus receiving yards prop tonight really shows that. 113.5 for Ramondre this evening, not only on the ground, of course, in the ground game, but through the air as well. I like the look, Joe, in terms of at least Kyler Murray stacking up some yards tonight. Although New England is one of the best passing defenses in the NFL, top 10 this year, and only allowing less than 190 over the last three games for the Pats on average. Just the volume that you think Arizona's going to throw it with tonight to DeAndre Hopkins from Kyler Murray. I would also look at Nuke's receiving yards prop of 75.5. That game, Joe, will be an interesting one that we will watch together at the Sports Grid holiday party tonight, huh? Maybe we'll get a same game parlay in together and have, as they say on College Football Today, we'll be brothers in arms.
Brothers in arms, alt. I'm just looking at it now. Alt Hopkins, alt Kyler Murray, and maybe a touchdown for both. What do you think?
Maybe some big plus money prices there, Joe, to celebrate the holidays here with the Spiz Grizz family. Joe, on College Football Today this past Saturday, we only had one FBS game to break down, and it was Army-Navy, the 123rd playing of the Army-Navy game in history in Philadelphia this past Saturday. For the first time in this long and illustrious matchup, we go to overtime, and for the first time in 17 years now, the Army-Navy game hits the over of a total that was historically low at 32.5. The Black Knights, Joe, the Cadets of Army, they sing second, 20-17 in OT against the Naval Academy from Annapolis. Joe, it was a game that really followed script throughout most of it. It was tied at the end of regulation at 10 apiece, and then we saw a little bit more scoring in overtime. The ground game, a heavy, heavy component. No completed passes until the fourth quarter, but Army gets the better of Navy, Joe. So I guess on Saturday, for the 123rd time, it finished with Go Army, beat Navy, and the Cadets get the win for the fifth time in the last 7 years.
Yeah, and force Kenny Niumaalolo to resign or step down, right? I mean, what a game, though, Ben. I mean, even though both teams were not going to a bowl this year, this game, when they get together, it's a game for four quarters, right? No matter what the records are, just throw them out. Now, Navy blows an opportunity, cost me a 14-1 ticket. I took it in-game, 14-1 over 41.5. The kid from Navy fumbles on the goal line. Amazing, unbelievable in terms of how the ball game ends, but amazing. First overtime game ever in the history of the series. And that's what it's all about. I mean, a great, great rivalry that just oozes college football.
Joe, it's a really tough thing to see Ken Niumatalolo out of a job for the Naval Academy. He was very transparent about the expectations for Navy football, but they play in the American. They're not independent like Army. That threshold that you must surpass then to be at a service academy and still be competitive in a really good group of five conference is interesting. We mentioned Navy entered Saturday covering three straight games against American foes, including a game against Notre Dame as well. But ultimately, Joe, Ken Niumatalolo over the last 3 years was 4-8, 4-8, and then 3-7 in 2020. He would admit that's not good enough, but he is Navy football, at least over the past 16 years when he was the head coach. A 109-83 record, nearly a 57% win percentage. And early on, Joe, he started his first multiple years there from 2008 until 2015, winning what I believe was eight straight Army-Navy games. Ultimately, though, Joe, when you lose to Army five of the last 7 years and you're not stacking up wins outside of that, it leads to a changing of ways, I guess, there in Annapolis.
Yeah, it had to be done, Ben. I mean, even though they've had glimpses over the last 3 years, they haven't been consistent, right? Even though they play, like you mentioned, in the AAC, their defense stepped up. Their offense was inconsistent this year at times. And at the end of the day, when you lose to your arch rival, even if it's Army and Navy, and we know they have bigger things than just college football, it still matters in terms of the rivalry perspective. And at the end of the day, a fantastic coach did great things for the program and a former alum, but at the end of the day, it is time to move forward and bring Navy back to where they should be in terms of the AAC conference.
Yes, indeed. Well, hopefully they get to that point, Joe, but now Ken Niumatalolo will be looking for a new job, and the Navy midshipman will be looking for a new head coach. A couple of more things to touch on here as Football Full Circle comes to a close on this Monday, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. One more segment coming up following the break, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We end our Football Full Circle today with a bit of sad news to pass along. I'm sure you've been following through social media about the situation surrounding the head coach at Mississippi State football in Mike Leach. Joe, one of the most engaging figures in all of the sport, one way or the other. When Mike Leach speaks, we all listen. According to reports, and Mississippi State has just released an update on Mike Leach a few minutes ago, but according to reports from the Clarion Ledger, a newspaper there in Mississippi, Mike Leach had a massive heart attack on Sunday in Starkville and was transferred to the University of Mississippi Medical Center in Jackson, Mississippi, where he is still in critical condition on this Monday. So, Joe, our thoughts, our prayers out to the Leach family. Hopefully Mike Leach can recover, and that is what we are all thinking of on this Monday as we cover college football like we do.
Yeah, not good news, you know, Ben. It's a shame. I mean, unbelievable, 61 years old, how fragile life is. He was at an event, I heard, with media reporters the night before, and, you know, conflicting reports. Some say it was a stroke. Some say he has brain damage, and it's dire. Our thoughts and prayers are with them in the university. And most importantly, hopefully he can make a full recovery back from whatever he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, that is what we are hoping for. The man known as the Pirate Joe, who always says, swing your sword. A man that has had numerous effects on college football, from his air raid type philosophy, the coaching tree that all helms from Mike Leach. His impact on the game, Joe, is incredibly lengthy. And of course, the sound bites that bring us joy at times throughout a college football season, or at least leave us with a scratching of our head, but makes us ponder life. That's what Mike Leach has. We wish him the best. We wish him a full, speedy, and healthy recovery. And we'll follow those updates, Joe, as they become available. That does it for Football Full Circle today on the Sports Grid Radio Network. But keep it locked right here. The Money Line with Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh is up next. That does it for Joe Lisi and I today on FFC. But we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon after the Sports Grid holiday party. So bear with us. Keep it locked to Sports Grid Radio.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.